on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. On this, we're heading to the weekend, boys. We got a big weekend. We got the Rockets, okay, finishing up strong against the. Now they gotta beat the Sixers, okay? They need a win heading into the postseason, don't they? And the Sixers suck. They don't know anybody left. You better win. I don't care if you don't have Russ. You better win. And the Astros got an easy series against the Seattle this weekend. So this is gonna be a great, great Houston weekend as we head toward the postseason in basketball, taking on Oklahoma City, one of the greatest teams in the history of basketball. This was the fear of everybody, having to play Oklahoma City and Chris Paul. There's a lot of good storylines in this thing, though.
Well, I mean, the biggest fear is you don't have your second All-Star.
Right, right. Well, for how long?
Well, they don't know. That's
they don't
the
know
issue.
That. I know. But, and that's just it. Even without Russ, yes, you should win the series.
No, why? Why should you?
Because you should win. I don't. You should win this series.
Why? You finish almost identical to them in the season with Russ. Why would you? Why should you win without him?
Look at all the back to backs Russ didn't play, and you finished even with him.
Well, I don't know how they did their stuff with Chris Paul, but
I don't think Chris Paul really wants to win this series. I really think that he doesn't really care much about this. Can you imagine, Chris? And we had this conversation yesterday. James wants it too, though. James wants to beat Chris Paul just as much as Chris Paul wants to beat him. I mean, those two didn't like each other. So now Chris is the one that had to go because it's James' team. This is James' town. This is James' world here in Houston. But James wants to beat his ass too. Make no mistake about
that.
Yeah,
this is all. James doesn't want to get clowned by Chris Paul.
No.
And the better player is James Harden.
Yeah. No, I mean, no. Make no mistake about it. James has a lot of pride. Make no mistake. James is gonna put everything into this to beat Chris Paul, too. Yeah, he doesn't want. And James has to start getting some more playoff success. I mean, that's hanging over him.
Yeah. Look, James, and frankly, this is just the first step. Really, this is a tough matchup. This is going to be a tough matchup with Russ out early. And it's going to put more on James, and there's going to be more credit given to him or blame given to him, however the series goes. So James has a chance to really add some juice to his legacy. But ultimately, it's going to be determined by what they do if and when they get to the second round. But if James can push this team past, look, if they beat Oklahoma City, it's because James Harden played well. There's no doubt about that. And if James Harden plays well, does nothing but add to his legacy. That is going to be, you know, a very I've seen times where I've seen James given credit because people look at his stats. And if you look at the efficiency numbers, the shooting percentages all way down. And we've watched the same playoff series. And I thought, you know, and you can tell when people are making excuses. And because when you watch the games, you realize, this wasn't that good. The Rockets got by, but this James did not play great in this series. And the Clipper series, I don't know how long ago it was. The one that they came back. So it would have been, what would that have been?
14.
That was the one that I'm thinking of where I actually didn't think he played all that great. But he, he got credit for it because people looked at total points in the postseason. Well, no, like he had some
sat
kind of
in
great,
the fourth quarter.
Well, in that one game.
Yeah, right.
In that one game. But he... I think this is big for him. I think it's big for him. He's an 82-game legend without question. At some point, he's got to push that into the postseason where he has iconic, memorable performances, and that's what he's missing right now. What is James's iconic, memorable, not just a game, but he needs moments, he needs games, but he also needs a series where you say, man, James is willing his team to victory throughout this series and then this series, a whole postseason. And that's not asking too much. Dream, if you want to be considered, you know, Dream did it. Dream said, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. In 1995, I'm going to go ahead and show you what it looks like. And legend status after that. People talk about it to this day. Well, I hear that's not too much for James to shoot for. If he's considered by Daryl Morey and others to be the greatest scorer in the history of basketball, beyond Jordan, beyond everybody, then you need to be, people need to be comparing you to Hakeem Olajuwon, not just in your numbers, because you always look at stats. James is like Dream. Look at the stats. But you can't say, but when you say, well, tell me about which, you know, which playoff wins do you,
well, we've got a promo on our air saying, you know, Jason Braddock saying James Harden's the greatest Rocket ever. That's just, it's simply not true.
No, it's not accurate.
Not until he does. And you know what? There's a built-in excuse here now. Russ, well, Russ wasn't there. Tough crap.
That is a bad excuse.
Well, you got it from Chris, when Chris Paul went down and you were up two games against Golden State. Oh, well, you couldn't win those. Really?
If you're the one of the best, whoever said that about Jordan or Dream, whoever made those excuses, guys just won. They just found ways to get
especially in the first round matchup James against Oklahoma City.
Right, James was spotted wins in Game 6 and Game 7 of the series that Russ was out and still didn't win. He needs to win this series because it's a lose-lose for him. I mean, it's really a lose-only proposition. If he loses this series, it looks really bad. If he wins it, I don't know how many people will just give him credit. They should, depending on how long Russ is out, because it will be because of James Harden. So, but once again, that'll be the talk early on. But then, in the grand scheme of things, how he does in the second round is really what's going to. People will forget about a round one win, even if it was without Russ. They'll forget about that in the long term, and it will just be, why couldn't James, you know, get to an NBA Finals or whatever the case may be?
Well, I got a question for you.
Even though this year, frankly,
we still sure that the Lakers are advancing past the first round?
I think it's a really tough matchup for them, and they are not playing good basketball. Well, I told you. Go ahead, Dale.
I was going to say Portland will have a significant advantage in the backcourt, no matter who the Lakers have to run out there. But Portland does not play a lick of defense. Not at all.
No.
They don't play.
Every game is 134-133.
Yeah. Someone listed the number of points they've given up, and it's remarkable how good their offense has been that they've gone 6-2. If you just look at the eight games, it's in the 120s, 130s. They have been atrocious defensively, but have found ways to win because Dame went off again, and apparently CJ McCollum can play with a broken back. So that's something we just found out as well. The one comparison I would make, it's a long time ago, probably means something to me, is a Knicks team in the strike-shortened year, which this one kind of is too, was very injured. They snuck into the playoffs as an 8 seed and beat a 1 seed Miami team who was the best team in the East all year long. But the Knicks had talent to be really good. They just were injured, and they got in the playoffs and made a run to the finals. I don't think the Blazers are a run to the finals team, but they're really probably a 3 seed. They're probably in that 3-4 seed range, and the Lakers are getting them in the first round. The Lakers should still win this series, but they're not playing an 8 seed. I think people should remove that from the equation. I mean, we're going to rip the Lakers anyway if they lose, but they're not playing an 8 seed. They're playing a team that's probably a 3-4-5 in the first round. So it's a little dangerous for them.
Yep. Absolutely. With Nurkic back, there's no question. That's a really, really good. No, I'm still taking the Lakers in that series. Who you got?
Well, I think it's a team that's up there with the Rockets. I mean, they beat the Rockets, but from a talent standpoint, this is a 4-5 type team right now.
Yeah. That's what you just said. 3-4.
I think that is true. And I mean, I'm still taking the Lakers. I still take LeBron. You'll have to show me where LeBron gets punked in those situations. But right.
Especially in the first round.
Yeah, but they're a live dog, and you know, I guess we'll see. We'll see how the Lakers. It's a big game for Vogel too.
Yeah.
You take Anthony Davis and LeBron James and turn it into a first round loss against an 8 seed, and we know, like Dale laid out, it's not a true 8 seed. But if you're Vogel and you lose with LeBron and Anthony Davis, ooh, history will not look kindly on you.
No. And I don't know how much patience they'll have with him.
Then the excuses are going to come. The bubble just never got, but there should be no excuses. Everyone had to deal with the same bubble. Some teams performed well, and the Lakers just look like hammered out dog turds. Now, if Avery Bradley was there, it would be different. If they had Rajon Rondo, it would be different. They would have a healthy, defensive-minded backcourt that could have slowed down Portland's backcourt. I don't want to hear excuses. Once again, We're not giving James. I don't hear excuses about James. So don't give me excuses about LeBron or Anthony Davis or anyone else. Not that they've lost. I'm saying everyone's in this bubble. They've dealt with the same pandemic. They're dealing with the same bubble situations and scenarios, whatever the case may be. So can you do it or can you not do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's all it rolls down to. And this is what I'm really excited about. I've been waiting for this playoff scenario. I'm really excited to see how it plays out. I'm glad to see that so many players will be able to have their sisters come in. I bet every player on the list now, because of Adam Silver saying, okay, you can have close personal friends that you have long-term established family. Relationships, family, or basically, he basically said girlfriends with long-standing relationships who you've actually met in person, which immediately was an Instagram hoes are not welcome. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of sisters on the guest list.
Yeah.
This is my stepsister. This is my half-sister. This is my sister. You're going to have to, the NBA is going to have to check, they're going to have to check birth certificates and family lineage.
Ooh, the NBA is going to be a part of the birther movement. Where were you born? Are you an American? Because
well, I trust that you're an American.
We had a president that we're not sure about.
I trust that you're an American.
Well, some people aren't sure about.
I don't trust that you are related to this player.
Yeah, I don't see you as really an Antetokounmpo. You look like a Johnson to me. Sorry.
Are you Greek?
Yeah. Although, let's speak. Giannis is in a committed relationship as a child. Yeah, I just used him.
Hey, y'all. Y'all haven't been better. There. There's a lot of booty in Greece, okay? There's big booty is a thing in Greece, okay?
Well,
so
there that
so
is.
So she could be Greek. She could be Greek.
That wasn't really my determining factor between Greek or not Greek, big booty, but okay.
Well, okay.
I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of family members, like a lot of female family members that are going to be trying to snuck in, kind of like a Seattle cornerback.
Right.
When we come back, this is why it's
an
so...
An Aggie and an Oklahoma State Cowboy. Is he from here?
Oh, yeah. My brother. He was in my brother's school.
No,
my
he wasn't.
High school. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I think my brother coached him. We got to get him on the show.
No, this is why it's so... you see what's happening with the Cleveland Indians and the Cleveland baseball team.
No, you can still call them.
Oh, can I call them?
For now, yeah.
And then with the cornerback from Seattle, Siverand, I think his name is. Yeah. We'll tell you that story. This is why it's so unlikely that college football isn't going to have major issues. These are guys making money, risking everything, risking their jobs and their paychecks. And it's just like...
But it was a good scheme. We'll talk about it.
It was
wonderfully
scheme.
Planned. On the other side, 713 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble. And granted, when we needed some work done, the first guy that you call is Jeff Aronoff. And dude is going to get the job done for us. And we're looking really, really looking forward to it. We got to do some counter work. We need some outdoor kitchen work done. So we got the background from the countertop as well and changing all that. And Jeff is going to get that job done for us. And this is what he does. When you got big jobs this is marble. This is granite. And that's what he's called, absolute marble and granite. And Jeff will come to your home and he can take all that out in a clean work environment, replace it for you, and improve the value of your home or your business and the look and everything else involved. So if you're looking for that big job, you got that outdoor patio that you want to do, you got that outdoor kitchen, and those are big jobs, call Jeff Aronoff, let him come. He'll give you the estimate, and he'll get to work. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 717 ESPN 97.5. So there is a young man named Kima Siverand. And he played at Texas A&M, then transferred to Oklahoma State. And is he an Aggie? forever, or is he a former Aggie since he... How does that work? Because he didn't stay there. If or are you always an Aggie once you go?
You're always an Aggie.
I really Even if you transfer?
No, they're not claiming him or that wide receiver that went to Arkansas State.
I really wish this particular story had happened after Mac Rhodes or before Mac Rhodes joined us, so we could ask him, is this guy an Aggie? Is he always? Not
you
Mac
mean
Rhodes.
Ross Bjork.
Ross Bjork. Yeah. Ross Bjork yesterday. He joined us yesterday. That's up on the podcast. So we could ask him, is he still an Aggie? Or was he not an Aggie?
I don't think he's you gotta clarify that for us, Ags. Is he a former Ag or just not even his persona? You don't claim him at all, even though he was an Ag for a while.
And I thought they're all good
if
Ags.
If you go to Oklahoma State, are you still a good Ag or are you a bad Ag now?
We gotta
clarify this.
No, they're not. They're not.
They're not
claiming. They're not. Guy who doesn't play.
Well, he who went.
Did he do the thing? Saw him off.
Yeah,
in a game.
Yes, I'm sure he did. He was on the sidelines. Yeah, he would. He sawed him off. He saw Varsity's horns.
Did he
off.
Saw Varsity's horns off as a player?
Yes. Yes. He said, yeah. No.
Was he kicked out?
Well, but he can't whoop because he wasn't ever a senior. So does that count if he can never whoop?
I don't know the rules. 713-780-3776.
Did he ever grab his nuts?
a lot of people do.
Well, yeah, but. Did he ever kiss a girl at a game? No.
All right.
Unless he snuck her in.
Look.
He snuck her onto the sideline.
If you're an Aggie, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We just have some questions we need to ask you about the rules of whether or not
he's a couple an Aggie. Things. I'm going to assume he always had better haircuts than those guys who make out the cadets or whatever they're called. What are they called? The core. Yeah. I'm assuming he's always had a better haircut than them.
Why?
Well, because they get bad haircuts.
Well, what do you mean they get bad hair? You can have a good haircut and be in the core.
I've never seen one.
Todd Farquharson?
Well, he's not in the core anymore. But when he was in the core, I bet you didn't have a great haircut.
What are you talking about?
It depends on your definition
you just
of
don't
a great
like,
haircut.
You don't like to be tie and tight.
Yeah, you just don't like tie and tight.
I'm just saying, those guys have a certain look, and I'm like, you wouldn't have chosen that look if you weren't in the core.
What you talking about? The 1950s look?
Yes.
The 1950s.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. If you're asking.
The Animal House look?
Yes.
That one?
I'm assuming he's always had a better haircut than the core. So if you
Biff from Back to the Future. The guy who was the bully, the guy who then
Biff?
Isn't his name Biff, right?
Yeah.
Biff. And then in number two or number three, I think it was number three, where he got a hold of the Sports Almanac and started which was ahead of its time. That concept of you get your hand on a Sports Almanac and take it back in time so that you can gamble on stuff, ahead of its time. I don't think it fully, whoever came up with that was really way ahead of Hollywood. I would like to see it done again and done better.
That would be the first thing I would do if I went back in time.
First thing I'd do is write down, I got to remember Apple.
I got to remember gold.
Netflix.
Buy gold.
Apple. Got to remember all these things.
Netflix, you would have to wait how many years?
Yeah.
I know, you'd be a kid. I know, but I'm like, I'd write it on a piece of paper.
No, I remember when I was a kid. Dad. There was an ad on buy gold now. And I was like, yeah, I should do that. Ugh, what a dumbass. If I have accumulated gold all these years, you know how rich I would be?
You'd be just a crazy person. I've been accumulating gold all these years.
Yes.
What kind of crazy person are you?
Oh, really? Crazy person with a lot? I'd be a crazy rich person is what I'd be.
You would be, but you'd be crazy. You can't even remember to bring your... Dell?
No, you want to hear a story?
Go ahead.
I pulled a Lance yesterday.
Yeah. It's not just me, Dell.
So we played. You get done. You know, you drive your car to your car. You put your clubs up in the car. And then you go and you have a beer in the clubhouse. Well, I went to my car... And I had a case of balls in there and a dozen balls. And I took them out of their cases and I put them in my bag. And then I just got in my cart and I went to the clubhouse and I had a couple beers. And then I drove home. And when I got home, I had to get something out of the back. And I went, where are my clubs? I never took them off the cart and put them in my car, which is specifically what I went to do.
Why you went to do that?
And... I felt like Lance for a minute there.
Did you call the club and make sure someone
I
had?
Yeah, well, I called my buddy, who's a
and he
and they grabbed.
He
laughed.
He said, "You're stupid."
Well, yeah, but were your clubs still in the cart?
They were still in the cart outside, and they put them in the clubhouse. And now I'm gonna got to go back to the which I wasn't gonna do. Now I can't play poker today, so I have to play another round of golf.
Here's things I've left behind. Don't feel bad. iPad in a plane.
You suits. Do that.
These are separate trips. Separate trips. iPad in a plane. Suit in
hanging
a plane.
Up in the closet in a plane.
Yep. These are those are separate trips. Right.
Phone. I everywhere. Phone in a cab.
Yeah. Phone in Cuba in a cab
phone
in Cuba.
Cab. Phone in
phone
a
cab in Las Vegas.
In New York.
Phone in a cab in.
Didn't you do it in New York too?
Let me see. Las Vegas. There's a third place for sure. I mean, Cuba was a. That was a miracle.
I'm almost positive you left a phone in New York.
I left $700 cash in a drawer in a hotel in New Orleans that this other guy who happened to still be behind when we went to a wedding, he like was able to get the cash for me. And I have left my Bose headphones behind and I left that behind in a hotel in Mobile, Alabama. That one never got found by the lady who cleaned the room. She didn't happen to find that one, which means it was just got jacked. It's just like, nope, couldn't find it. What can I do? Somehow the 700, it was. I think I got him to get it before anyone on the cleaning staff was even like, yeah, I just forgot that I had put some socks in a drawer. Mm. Like, what? That's what I get for unloading my suitcase for a 2-day trip.
JT's got some of that too. JT left. He was in Oklahoma City, stayed at a hotel. And then drove up to Missouri State, and he left his luggage in the lobby of the hotel. Drove all the way up to Missouri State, got there, and he was like, "I don't have any clothes." Oh my God!
Isn't JT one who would forget to wear the proper clothing for like games? Like, yes.
JT forgot his spikes one time. Didn't have any shoes. At
all. Oh wow, that sounds familiar. He is like me.
Yeah. And I'm driving to the game. It's in Crosby. And the coach calls me. Yeah. He doesn't have his shoes. He doesn't have any shoes. You got any shoes? Can you? No, I don't have any shoes for him.
Yeah, I just carry cleats around for him.
So he played in loafers. He played.
Shut up. What game? Well, was it baseball or football?
It was 7-on-7 tournament. Okay. 7-on-7 tournament.
Well, he's a quarterback. Just stand there.
Yeah,
he
just stood
the football.
There. But that's my son. And now I got a little bit of that myself.
Wait.
I feel like
did he get it from you?
I think I caught it.
So wait a minute.
No, I don't do stuff like that.
Loafers.
I think I'm being proximity to Lance and JT.
So did the coach ask everyone to dress up in slacks and loafers? That's why he had loafers on?
No,
why did he have loafers?
He had loafers because one of his teammates, because he was wearing, I don't think he had any shoes on or something. His teammate wore loafers and then changed into his spikes. And so he said, "Can I use your shoes?"
JT walks around barefoot then.
I don't know. I forgot all his shoes. I don't know. It's like
Lance.
This sounds extremely. I mean, this is the stuff that happens to me on a regular basis. I'm forgetting. And if you ask, why did you have $700? Well, I was in New Orleans.
Going to casino.
Of course, we think. But I've forgotten things so often that is, I don't even like, I tell my wife, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell. I know you want to tell this person or that person.
No.
It's just happening way too often.
I shouldn't have told you about my clubs.
It's way too often. No, right. I needed that one. Right. I needed that one.
No.
But that one sounds like something I would do. I mean, I've done that kind of stuff a lot. So, I just get, my mind's just going a million miles an hour. That's just how it is. I'm just going to forget things. It's happened since I was young. It will happen forever until I get adult ADD medicine. This is going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully when I go to my doctor on Monday, he'll say, "Oh, you know what? I can fix this for you. All these years of you potentially leaving thousands of dollars of technology all over the place and suits and cash, I just take this magic pill and everything will be fine."
And you'll actually focus more? Okay.
Well, I need a magic pill.
Your ADD has affected the story you're going to tell.
Okay. So Kima Sivirand, who was an Aggie and Oklahoma State Cowboy, is an undrafted free agent, got $2,000 to the Seahawks to come stay in the hotel, protocol, nobody, one person to a room.
He's on the team right now. He's got a chance to make a team.
He's got a chance to make a team as a cornerback, and He dresses up a girl in Seahawks gear, puts her a hoodie on her, and tries to get her up to his room. Well, he's caught on tape. They say, no, obviously, you can't have anybody up there. It is unsafe for everybody. It's the protocol. You, my friend, are kicked off the team. And you will never, ever, ever have a chance to play in the NFL again.
Well, because they know that you're this, if you're this reckless in the midst of a pandemic when you're an undrafted free agent, you can't trust that
you
guy.
You can't go a couple of weeks.
I mean, dude.
Honestly. Or, and like Bart Scott was talking about beforehand, he goes, dude, you're not tied to the place. You can leave, go get some in the car, and come back.
Yeah, that makes no, that's something that you would, that's a college move.
It's a really
that's a college
dumb,
move that he tried to sneak somebody
move.
Into a dorm.
Right.
It's just so stupid because now that might have been his one chance. That might have been his that is his one chance to be a pro football player. It was already a long shot anyway because you're an undrafted free agent. So you're in camp. Now, of all the teams, Seattle is they took one of your safeties and turned him into a cornerback from Oklahoma State previously. Trey Flowers. So not Trey Flowers. It is Trey Flowers, right? They got their star. One of their starting cornerbacks was a safety at Oklahoma State that I didn't think was a player, but they turned him into a cornerback. Well, they take chances on guys with traits. They don't care where you're drafted. Richard Sherman, Brandon Browner are examples of that. John Schneider doesn't care where you're drafted, if you're drafted. He just wants to find guys who have certain type of traits who can make a team. This was your chance. You're on a team where you actually have a chance. And to screw it up over this, now you're known as that dumbass who had everything to lose and very little to gain in reality with his one shot, and he blew it. How do you go back and tell? What do you say to your family? What do you say to your friends? That was your chance. They're like, man, you got this chance. We know you can do it. Like, yeah, I got kicked out because I was trying to chase some tail, but anyway.
I was trying to sneak a girl into
a girl into my dorm. After curfew. No, there's no curfew. There's a pandemic. She's not allowed in. You know what? This kind of hit me in the face yesterday. I texted, I think we're going to drive to Chicago sometime in the fall when a friend of ours is getting ready to graduate from his post. He's getting his master's in music, and we want to go be there. It's our really good friend. We're going to drive there and go. And my wife said, we ought to go to Indianapolis and go check out a Colts game if we can. And I thought, yeah, that'd be great. So I texted Ballard. He's like, when are you looking at? He goes, not early. You don't, I mean, maybe later. And it hit me. Wait, that's right. There's their protocol. I'm sitting here thinking, no, but I mean, I know you. I can't get to it. I wanted to go see. Really, even if it's not going to a game, I wanted to go meet Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
But it hit me in the face like, wait a minute. I'm no different than the girl that they tried to sneak in. I'm no different.
Well,
as a media member,
you could go.
No, I can't. You can't go into the facility as a media member.
As a facility, but a game.
You can't.
To a game you could.
Right, but I want to go meet Phillip Rivers. Yeah. I can't.
No.
I'm outside of protocol.
Hey, look at, entitled Lance can't go somewhere.
No, I was reminded, and I said, good.
How about this?
Kick me out.
Lance is like stunned. I can't go somewhere.
No, it just hit me.
Would you say you've been living in hell for the last 6 months?
Yes. I've been living in a literal
hell.
Soccer hell.
Soccer hell.
Now you're in soccer hell.
You know where I am? I've been in HR problems. I've had HR problems before. I don't know if you guys know this, but I've had HR problems before, surprisingly. But here's the thing is you get through them, and you know what, though? You got to have somebody that takes care of that stuff. And you know who takes care of that stuff? HR and Pete. HR and P will take care of all of your issues like me, okay? If you got someone at work like me, then you need HR and P. All you got to do is go to HRP.net and see what they do, because you don't want to handle HR issues on your own, because you could screw it up, and guess what? You could lose your people have actually lost businesses or thousands and thousands of dollars because they didn't handle HR problems correctly. So they do that. But you know what? Also, the payroll thing. Listen, if you got more than 15 employees, you need someone doing your payroll as opposed to someone doing it full time and taking care of all the other stuff that's going on, right, especially right now. And I mean, just hit Lance right there. How about all of the SBA loans and the PPP and the unemployment? unemployment claims and everything else that's going on out there. Are you handling it right? While you're trying to do your taxes, your Affordable Care Act, and everything else, well, HRMP takes care of all that. And they'll take care of you through this pandemic. They are knowledgeable. And if your payroll company isn't doing it right, go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:34, ESPN. Charles and Shaq had another.
Is this old? Because look how close they are.
I think this happened again.
That's not on the Giants set, is it?
Yeah, it's a Giants set. Look how far they are.
Oh, yeah. Now I can tell. Yeah. That's on the big set.
Yeah, that's on the big
set. It looks exactly like the other set.
I think they're talking about Portland here. Portland not playing any defense.
Only with 3 feet.
And I guess Shaq was back in Portland, and he was saying, I know about championships. You don't know nothing about championships.
Yeah, turn into the championship.
And Charles told him, don't forget about Kobe and D-Wade carrying your fat ass.
Did he threaten Chuck again? I'll come over there.
I will come
over. Remember me come over there. I'll kick your ass right now, Chuck.
That's the best show ever. Did you see, you got to play what he said. Did you see him talking about LeBron getting undressed?
It is.
Dell, did you see that?
The players supposedly have started talking about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have it?
You got it? Hold on. It's ready? In 3, 2.
No.
Oh, Larry Zierlein. Is he up now?
No.
What time?
The next break.
Oh, the next one. Okay.
Yeah, next break.
We're going to talk Larry Zierlein.
Wanted to give a little shout out to, Bill Yeoman passed away. Yeah. I don't think we mentioned it at all. And Bill Yeoman was... Bill Yeoman was a real innovator. My dad got his first shot here at University of Houston, but Bill Yeoman, in terms of it was, he needs to be a little more well known, I think, by a lot of people. He's a guy who really was at the forefront of kind of, frankly, fully integrating teams in Texas in the Southwest Conference. When Houston was added to the Southwest Conference. It was, there was integration, but not like it is now. To have a black quarterback, Texas did have Donnie Little at one point, but Houston had ran a straight veer. Bill Yeoman invented the veer offense, which was a triple option offense. It's something that's basically used a lot of times today. You'll see it out of. The zone read is the same as the veer. The concepts are the same. Bill Yeoman invented zone blocking. What we hear is zone blocking. Bill Yeoman is the father of zone blocking, which is so pertinent, which is so prevalent and pertinent now in football. So he did a lot of things for college football, and he passed away. He was at University of Houston for years.
Was he 92?
92 years old. Yeah, my dad started coming in town to see him over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. He'd just come in and come have, because Yeoman gave him his first shot.
Yeah.
So it was, kind of as my dad's getting older, I guess you get more sentimental about things and you start being more, you start reflecting more on different things in your life. And he wouldn't have had the journey he had if Bill Yeoman hadn't taken a shot on a young high school coach who had taken a bunch of chances himself to get to where he was. I mean, my dad went to a job basically paid no money at U of H and then something, I don't know, somebody left or something happened where he was able to at least get paid a little something. And that started his journey. And Bill Yeoman's the one who gave him an opportunity. He was up there. My dad was a big time hustler my dad quit a job. He was telling me the story about he wrote a list of things he wanted to do when he was in his 20s as a high school coach in Lubbock, Texas. And he said, okay, these are my goals. By this year, I want to do this by this year. And so one of his goals was to coach at a 4A high school in Texas. And he was head coach at this school. He's in his 20s, a head coach at a school. It wasn't very good, called Abernathy. But he's a head coach. Well, because it wasn't a 4A school and it was on his list of goals to be at a 4A school, he quit. He's like, no, I'm supposed to be at a 4A school. It's on my goal list. So he just came in and turned in his resignation to the school. They said, are you sure? Yeah, I got to find a 4A job. So I'm like, it's on my page.
It's on my to-do list.
And he did, and he got one. And then he had he had something on his page. He would coach college, you know, by the time he was like 32 years old. Boom. He quit high school and he ended up going to University of Houston. So he did a lot of that kind of stuff. That's kind of ballsy to do that.
It is.
Anyway, he's going to join us at 7:45. We'll also talk to him about Max Sharping and Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney's name is now starting to float around with the Texans again. I don't know where Clowney's going, to be honest with you. I will tell you that the Texans signed a guy by the name of P.J. Hall. P.J. Hall is a defensive tackle who was a second-round pick for the Oakland Raiders.
Right. So the Texans now have first and second-round Raider cast-offs.
Now, he was they tried to trade him to the Vikings. He failed a physical, so the Raiders cut him. P.J. Hall has been out of shape, which is one of the reasons he got into the doghouse. Look, I don't know if he can play right now. I can tell you that he was drafted in 2018, so he had 2 years with the Raiders. Gotten enough of a doghouse that they got rid of him. But here's also what I know. When I watched him, he was very talented on tape. And his production and workout is probably the greatest combination of production and workout that I've seen in my draft work since I started with NFL, of anybody. He had 42 sacks in 4 years. He had 14 blocked kicks. This
now,
guy's
don't you
6'8".
Take into account, though, the level that he was playing at?
Well, sure, you can. But let me tell you what his workout was in a second. And it's J.J. Watt's workout. He's a defensive tackle who had J.J. Watt. When I tell you his workout, you're going to be blown away at his pro day. So he had 89 tackles for loss. You want to see him dominate lower levels of competition. And usually when we say lower levels of competition, we mean like Division II. We mean like, you know.
FCS. Sam,
yeah. Sam Houston is a lower level of comp, but it's not a bad level of football.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. And he did dominate.
No, but where you will probably lack is the offensive line.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, for sure. But he had he dominated them. He averaged over 20 tackles per loss per year.
Right.
And he averaged over 10 sacks per year. He had 14 blocked kicks. Listen to this workout he had. Now, once again, this is at his pro day.
14 blocked kicks is stupid.
I've never heard of this in my entire life. This is at his pro day. At his pro day, he was 6'3" 308. Okay. He's nose tackle. 6'3" 308. What do you think his 40-yard dash was?
Wait, 6 foot or 6 foot three?
6 foot, no.
6 foot, 308 pounds.
308 pounds. What do you think his 40-yard dash was?
40-yard dash for that big, 4.7, 4.8?
It was a 4. The average is a 5, like 5.08.
Right, but if you're saying he was great, I would say
4.73.
Yeah.
4.73.
That's
this
correct.
Is faster than most DNs. His vertical leap was 36 inches.
I don't know what that means.
That's an average of
3 feet.
Okay, cornerback. That's how high cornerbacks jump, 36 inches. He ran like an outside linebacker. He jumped like a cornerback. Oh, I'm sorry. No. My bad. I screwed up. He jumped like a wide receiver. His vertical leap was 38 inches. A 38-inch vertical is insane. I've never seen that done ever before at this size. His 36 was how many 225-pound reps he did, which would have put him like number 3 at the combine that year. 36 reps, 38 vertical leap, and then he had a 4.7 340 at 6'3" 308. That is unheard of numbers. That's better than J.J. Watt's workout. That's better than J.J. Watt's workout.
What's his body fat?
His production, well, obviously it's not great now.
No, that's a problem.
He's passing if he's failing physical.
6 feet is kind of short for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 feet is, yeah, Reader was a little bigger. It's no shorter than Grady Jarrett. He's actually bigger than Grady Jarrett, who's a Pro Bowler and with the Atlanta Falcons, came out of Clemson. I think Grady Jarrett was my comp on him. But I'm just telling you, I don't know if he's a player anymore. We'll see. But coming out, he could play.
Yeah. We'll talk to your dad next right here on ESPN 97.5. But first, let's talk about Craig DeCerf.
Let's talk about Craig DeCerf and some of the things he has going on for you. And it's not about talking about him. It's about talking about what your opportunities are with my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. And it's very important to get into all the different programs that they have, because that's where you start saving a ton of money. I'll give you an example right now. The Buick Encore GX, the Envision, the Enclave, that's all with employee pricing for everyone. You can go find that with my friends down in Angleton. They're just right around the corner. It's 42 minutes away. It's worth thousands of dollars when you stop in. They've also got 15% cash back from MSRP on most 2020 Equinox and Trax models, plus 12% cash back on most 2020 Blazers. And if you're looking for a Texas-sized truck, you can get a $6,000 cash allowance, which is a ton, on a brand new 2020 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Texas Edition. All of this is available to you when you go to the website, lancezcars.com. Find the vehicle you want, and you can do all your shopping online. You can order your car, and they'll deliver it right to your home, or you can head on out to Angleton and test drive it for yourself. It's lancezcars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Coach Zierlein's going to be calling us in a little bit to talk about Bill Yeoman and more. We got to talk to him about all the stuff going on, what he thinks as a NFL Super Bowl winning coach, the prospects of spring football, how difficult that'll be, how difficult it'll be on the players, how difficult it'll be to coach, all of that stuff. But first and foremost, Bill Yeoman.
If everything goes right with COVID, if everything goes right in terms of the vaccine, you know, just across the board, if everything works out, best case scenario, it's going to have a big impact on sports in 2020 and 2021. Because odds are it's going to have an impact on basketball. You know, basketball is going to have to start in a bubble again next year. There's just so many things that it's going to have an impact on. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's, you know, it won't be the end of anything. Well, I mean, it could be on certain things, but we'll continue to talk about that. Joining us right now is Larry Zierlein. That would be my father, who coached, who got a start in college football at University of Houston, came down here and coached high school football, and then joined Bill Yeoman at University of Houston. And so, Dad, I know that Bill Yeoman is a guy who gave you your first shot, and I know that over the last couple of years, two or three years, you've been coming down here seeing Coach Yeoman on a regular basis. I wanted you to talk just a little bit today about, you know, some of the innovations and why he was so important to the game of college football and really to the city of Houston as a University of Houston's head coach.
Well, first of all, Lance, it's good to be with you, but you know, he took a relatively new football program. I think they started maybe in 1946, and he got there in 1961, I believe. And so the program was, you know, there wasn't much to it at that point. And he developed the Houston Veer kind of by accident. He had struggled for about 4 or 5 years trying to get things off the ground. And in the spring of, I'm not sure which year it was, I think it was 65, they kind of discovered it by accident out in practice and then fully implemented it in 66. And, of course, it was something that no defensive coach in the country had ever seen before. They didn't know how to stop it. And Houston just rang up some phenomenal offensive numbers as well as win totals and national rankings. And you know, just became a national power, which of course gave the city of Houston itself a lot of recognition and helped in their, you know, in their growth and development. Plus, you had Guy Lewis with the basketball team doing the same thing at that time, and so. You know, I think a coach and Guy V, as well as Dave Williams, who was winning national championships in golf, I think that those guys did a lot for the city and a lot for the university.
Oh, absolutely. And how about him giving, how about you coming over and you just said, I got to be a college coach, and him giving you that job? How'd that happen?
Well, it was kind of a strange deal. I had a goal to be a college coach in 78. And I was at Lamar Consolidated, and when 78 came around, I had spent some time with Billy Willingham, the offensive line coach, over the 3 years that we'd been in Rosenberg at Lamar Consolidated. And anyway, I talked to Billy. I said, what about that part-time position they've got? And he said, yeah, he said, I could use some help. Well, part-time was actually full-time work and part-time pay. I think it was $400 a month. And we had three kids, Lance. Mike and Nikki were with us at that point also. So I came over. I went through spring training, and there was an opening on the staff, and I just didn't have any thought that I would be considered for it. I thought he would go get a qualified college coach or someone with more experience or whatever. And anyway, after the last practice in the spring of 78, he took me the next week. He said, I don't even know if he knew my name. He said, big fella, let's go grab some lunch. And I thought, why in the world is Coach Yeoman wanting to go to lunch with me? I mean,
how
I was
old are you at this time?
Well, he takes me over to the Shamrock Hotel on South Main there, and we eat lunch. And then on the way back, he said, well, he said, I watched you this spring. You didn't screw it up too bad, so I'm going to put you on full time. So there it was. So we were on full time.
He called everybody coach when he didn't know their name, right? That's right.
Well,
hey, coach?
He called you coach. Youngster. He called you big fella. Yeah. He called me LZ. But coach was the catch-all, I mean, people that weren't coaches, he called coach.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk about some of his one thing that he did, and I remember it being a big deal when we were kids, Dad, was that Houston was a primarily black football team, majority black football team, which had black quarterbacks, and that was kind of an unusual deal at that time in the Southwest Conference. And it wasn't, you know, Houston came right in 76 and won Southwest Conference. They won again. They had probation in 77. They won again in 78. And I remember you guys preparing us. I remember a conversation when I was really young. You said at school you may hear some stuff or whatever, because it was all about you're either Longhorn or Aggie or Baylor Bear. It was seemed like every family was from the Southwest Conference. Any kid at school had Southwest Conference ties back then. But he was a guy that I think kind of was pretty important in terms of integrating the Southwest Conference to the point that it became relatively quickly. And then number two, also winning with local players from small schools that were not blue chippers. It used to be two-star, three-star, four. We didn't have four stars, five stars. It was you were a blue chipper or you weren't a blue chipper. And Coach Yeoman did it without blue chippers. He did it with kind of the runts of the litter a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as addressing integration, you know, he was the guy who really integrated the South in football. You know, they went and got Warren McVay over in San Antonio, and then of course, he just started recruiting more and more black players. But I asked him about that one time, and he said, you know, he said, I just thought it was time. He said it was time to do it, and he said, I got a little bit of a surprised look from the president when I told him what I was going to do. But, nevertheless, he started recruiting there probably was not a great recruiting budget at that time in Houston, I would imagine. And so he didn't have to travel very far and didn't have the money probably to travel very far to recruit. But, they really hit East Texas. And there was a lot of talent out in East Texas, and a lot of it was black players. And so, as a result, you know, Houston started winning and winning big with a lot of small town kids from East Texas that nobody else really knew about, because at that point, people weren't really, you know, you didn't have all the out of state people coming down here and pilfering through air, you know, through all the schools. And so he was able to build this thing with, as you say, a lot of guys who weren't blue chippers. They were just guys that that he recognized something in and said he can fit into our system. And let me just say something about the system he developed, the Houston Veer. I coached for 40 some years, and it's the best system I've ever been in. You had he, Coach Willingham, and Coach Red, and those three guys. Well, Billy was the line coach. Coach Red was the running back coach. I was along for the ride. I just enjoyed the ride. I was learning football at that time. But those three guys worked together like I have never seen in all the years since. I always thought it would be like that everywhere I went, but it never was again. But those three guys worked in harmony. They could argue a little bit. There were never any hard feelings, but they developed a system that was as intricate and as well thought out as any system that I've ever been around. Coach was great. Billy and Elmer deserve a lot of credit for things too. But no, Coach Yeoman, he did integrate the South. He did so much for college football.
The elements of the Veer can be seen today in football when you watch today, can't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I said that to Coach here 5 or 6 years ago. I said, you know, Coach, people are running your offense again. He said, well, he said, I thought I saw some of it. He, you know, he was a humble guy. He didn't want to talk about what he had done. He would answer your questions, you know, but you know, why he did something or when he did it, et cetera. But, you know, what the guys are doing right now is mostly out of the shotgun with an offset back. And, you know, they're faking that handoff and they're reading a defensive end. And that's, you know, that's the zone option aspect. They've also gone to RPOs, which is another way of running option football. But, yeah, well, his influence, you see it in college football today and high school football. And you see it in the NFL because they're doing the zone reads and doing the same thing the high schools are doing.
Well, isn't Emery Ballard gets all the credit for the wishbone, but isn't that just an adaptation?
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
All they did up at Texas was they took coach's concept of the split back Veer, And they brought a receiver in and made him a fullback. So there weren't two wide receivers. There was only one, and then there were three backs. And they did the same thing, only out of a three-back set rather than a two-back set. And they ran the triple option. And I'm sure that they got the whole idea from Coach Yeoman at Houston.
Didn't you tell me Yeoman was also what we know as zone blocking now, which is so prevalent? Really the Veer was the beginning of zone blocking?
Well, you know, I don't know when zone blocking, you know, I'm sure there's been zone blocking probably back in the days of Pop Warner, but it wasn't very intricate. And people mostly, I know when I was a young coach, everybody was man blocking. But and I don't want to get too technical here, but in about 1976, they had begun to play the Veer block better, and a Veer block is where you leave a couple of guys unblocked, and then you make decisions based on what they do, what the defense does, and people had begun to figure it out a little bit. They were squeezing the down linemen and scraping the backers, and there wasn't any way of taking care of it. So what they did is they went to a zone scheme where they zone blocked it, and now you could squeeze the down guys, you could scrape the linebackers, and it didn't matter. Because everything was picked up, you were zoning it off. And this was before Joe Gibbs and Joe Bugle at the Redskins with the Hogs and John Riggins started running that, I can't remember the name, 40 and 50 inside or whatever they called it. But that was zone blocking. I know Larry Bechtel, who was a veteran offensive line coach with Lou Holtz for years, coached in the NFL for years. But he told me once, he said, the first time I ever saw zone blocking was with the University of Houston. So, you know, I don't know that the zone blocking was invented at Houston. I'm sure that people did some form of it, had to have, and there'll be people that call in and say, yeah, we zone blocked back when I was in high school in Hallettsville or something like that. But to get it to intricacy that we had it, I think maybe Coach Yeoman and Billy and Elmer were forerunners of current day zone blocking.
We have to take a break here. Can you hang for one more? We want to talk to you about what's going on with football this fall, if you got a minute.
Okay.
All right. So we'll do that the other side. Right now, though, I got to talk about Lance Loken and the Loken Group and selling your house. And look, if you're somebody that this is a great, by the way, a great time. Great time to sell your house. There are so many people looking to buy. And by the way, if you're a real estate agent and you're looking for a place to work, I'm telling you, Lance Loken can't be a nicer guy. He just can't be a nicer guy. So you're going to be with a group that is, well, it's number one in Texas and number two in the world. This is the biggest, best real estate group in, honestly, quite possibly in the world. So if you're looking for a great way, a great place to work, and great people that are going to sell your home, there's so many instances. And here's the deal. They have so much access because they're such a big group and they do so well. They got so much access to so many buyers that it becomes an auction-like deal for your home. And there are so many instances you're going to get top dollar. You're going to get somebody who will immediately buy your home. You're going to get somebody that you're going to actually like when it's all said and done. You will love the Loken Group because they're going to get you as much money as you possibly can for your home. If you just want your home listed, call any agent. If you want your home sold, call Lance Loken. Most agents don't start marketing your home until after you sign the listing agreement. Lance has started the marketing process long before he meets his clients. He's gathering buyers as we speak. So if you're looking for that group, thelokengroup.com, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com, 281-861-4624.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.